So the spreadsheet that we have breaks down pretty much every hygiene code that you would do, from bite wings to Profies to fluoride to everything. So it breaks down basically everything you would do for a patient.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I hope you're having a great day. Super excited to be here. Super excited about a special guest.
Hey.
Cue right seat and host with my new switchboard. Remember, if you're not watching these on YouTube, we're now producing them on YouTube. We have, my studio looks pretty good. I got split screen right now. You can see Emily and myself. So go check them out on YouTube. I'm sure it's like just Millennial Dentist Podcast on YouTube. I don't know. But anyways, hey, just a reminder, the Practice Growth Summit is this May. I don't know the dates. It's like Cinco de Mayo weekend. It's also the same weekend as Morgan Wallen.
Oh, well, last year we had Taylor Swift.
I know. This is what happens when you do concert or do meetings in Nashville. Do you like Morgan Wallen?
Yeah. I do. I probably won't go to his concert.
Yeah, well, I probably won't. I don't know if you can get tickets to his concert if you haven't, but yeah, but you probably can. So you should come to the Growth Summit. We have a lot of great speakers lined up. You know, some of those speakers, the one and only Tim Anderson, is going to be talking about 3D printing, some of the cool stuff he's doing there. You got Adam Fraunfelter, who's going to be talking about full arch implants. Super excited about that. And you got the one and only Jock Jernigan talking about overdentures. So I'm not going to tease anymore, but those are some three people on the implant side that'll be doing some really cool stuff. And then my favorite part, Emily, what was your favorite part of the summit last year?
Honestly, I think it was getting to see you speak. We hear you in our office a lot, and we see you leaving a lot and going to courses a lot, but it was nice to be able to actually be there and watch you.
That's kind of sweet.
Do what you do.
Oh, that was kind. That is probably true. I do leave a lot. But anyways, well, thank you. Yeah, so they probably don't want to. They hear me enough, so they probably don't want to. One of my favorite things is the team members, though. I think equally it was probably fun to see some of our team members up there.
Yeah, no, it was. A lot of people are involved with your 3D stuff outside the office, too. So seeing their other roles and...
Yeah, it was kind of fun. So anyways, check that out. But yeah, we got a special guest who I'm excited to have in here. And... that is one of my favorite hygienists, Miss Emily.
Thanks.
Emily, introduce yourself.
I'm Emily.
Long time listener of podcasts. First time podcast?
First time podcast, but I love podcasts.
I mean, that's pretty exciting. What's your favorite podcast?
Okay, it's called Net Positive.
Net Positive, all right.
Yes.
What's it about? Being positive?
Kind of. It's kind of like random, like, life situations and things that are going on in the world, and they just kind of talk about it, break it down, and try to make it into a positive look.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I actually found out about it because I met somebody randomly, and we started talking about podcasts, and he was like, do you listen? I was like, yeah. And so he was like, this is actually my podcast. And I was like, no way.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
So well, that's way crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. That is very cool. Well, I listen to more audiobooks than I do podcasts, but maybe I'll check it out.
Too. But I stream them on YouTube.
Oh, that's where you watch them. There's a watching part too. Yeah. Well, see, that's what y'all are all missing. If you're just listening to this in your car, you're missing the video part, which is fun. Okay. So what I want to talk about. So Emily, you've been a hygienist with us for how long?
It'll be 2 years, a couple months.
Yeah, 2 years and a couple months, which is kind of so. I mean, that's a relatively new time period.
Yep.
And I want to fast track into this because I want to get to the meat of what we want to talk about. But coming into where had you been prior to us? Just private practice? I don't remember.
I had been in a corporate office for 2 years.
You're corporate.
And then I was at a private office for roughly 6 months. It was not the right fit for me. So I looked elsewhere and found here.
Awesome. Well then, okay, so Emily, tell me then probably what would you say distinctly, what would be some of the differences that you've noticed from us compared to the other places that you work that are unique and different to the way we do things?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious the technology that we have. We have a lot of fun toys and tools that are very useful that I didn't realize were so important in dentistry and hygiene itself, the iTero scan's great. And then obviously like the cone beam that we have, just having those things accessible was not something that I had prior.
So as a hygienist, what all do we kind of expect that y'all do on a new patient or initial exam?
So with the 2 hours, the photos that were drilled into our head.
Yep.
So we have our photos that we take, the four bite wings, and then the cone beam, and then obviously perio chart, talk to them about kind of what their oral health is like, going over the photos, and then afterwards you take the iTero scan once they're all nice and clean and have that good baseline information.
What's your least favorite part about that?
About that whole process?
Yeah, least favorite diagnostics you have to get.
Honestly.
Is it the photos?
No, it's really the iTero scan.
Really, the iTero scan?
Yeah, because sometimes it's just really hard to maneuver with some patients.
All right. Well,
honestly, the photos have become just kind of second nature.
One question I want to ask you is because I think we get this question a lot. You've been here now 18 months, basically, or a little more than that, yeah. 20 months. The photos you would say are now second nature. What was that like when you started?
It was very foreign. And it was hard to see what your vision was and why these were so important. But I think now after the 18 months, it's very clear that it is a way for the patients to see their mouth the way that we see it, and good baseline information on what their mouth looks like when they're first coming in to see us. A lot of patients, I always tell them, I'm like, it's a humbling experience because...
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You see your mouth in a very different way and you're up close and personal and it's a bright flash. But I think overall, a lot of patients are very confused at the beginning, but more so at the end when you have gone over the photos and they see things differently. They are very grateful for being able to see things that way and acknowledge the fact that it is very different and unique, but something that is interesting.
What would be the advice you would give to somebody who's like, they're a hygienist who's just now being told, hey, I just came back or I heard this thing and I want to start taking photos on every new patient?
What would you say to the hygienist?
Well, let me give you two parts of it. What would be the advice that you would give to the doctors on onboarding the hygienists?
Okay.
And then what would be the advice that you give to the hygienist?
I would tell the doctor to be patient because they need to also see it through their eyes on why it's important and why it's valuable.
Yep.
Being patient with the quality of the photos too, because that takes some time and effort. It also is not always our fault. It is sometimes the patient itself.
That's very true.
So patience is a good one on both ends. And then the hygienist just kind of trusting the doctor on why this is now becoming a part of their...
How important is the why, understanding the why part of it?
I think it is important. I think it's very important, actually. Because it can seem very silly. So yeah. Them actually explaining that why, I think, can go a lot further than just, this is what we're doing, so go and do it.
Right.
So the why, I think, is probably the most important.
Okay, so that's freaking good information. So I like the patients, and I like the understanding the why, and then patients on both sides, and then the why being helpful there. Okay, so what I want to jump into is reporting. Because I'm assuming that that was something that you've never done. Did you ever do reporting or tracking your own numbers or looking at your stuff prior to coming to us?
Not like we do it here. I think that they, at previous offices, we would talk numbers, but quite frankly, I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know what kind of goals we were hitting. I didn't know how to reach those goals. I didn't.
Yep.
The information was very vague.
Yep.
And I think now being here, I have a better understanding of what those numbers mean and how you can get to raise those numbers and raise the bar a little for yourself and as a team.
Yep.
But yeah.
So talk about specifically what numbers we track and some of the stuff that you're starting to look at.
So the spreadsheet that we have breaks down pretty much every hygiene code.
Yep.
That you would do. So from bite wings to prophys to fluoride to everything. So it breaks down basically everything you would do for a patient. So that's cool to see how many patients you've seen.
Can I pull yours up?
Sure. Yeah. how many patients you've seen in a month. And then it also breaks it down to how much like goes into the financial aspect of it too, where it talks about your production, and then it takes in consideration like how much was taken in insurance, things like that, kind of the difference there.
All the things actually that we do, whatnot. Yeah. Okay, so when we first started talking about reporting, what was your initial kind of response on that?
The spreadsheet was overwhelming, but it's great. It's very organized. So it was a little overwhelming. I didn't necessarily understand why. So for me personally, I like numbers. So like this wasn't terrifying for me, but for some people I do know it was almost like they felt as if they were being graded.
Yes. Which I think is normal. When you start looking at numbers, you're like, what's the point in you doing this and whatnot?
Right. It's like, why are you giving me a grade at the end of my month?
Okay. So walk through kind of that part at least and how you kind of have dealt with that and what that looks like, or what conversations happen to not feel that way.
So I know, well, for me personally, I never really felt that way, but I know for other people,
yep,
that was something that they were concerned with. And I think that it was more so, this is not a game of comparison. This is just you being able to track where you are and how you've grown over a year, or like, this wasn't a great month. Like, why do we think numbers were not as good as they once were the month prior? Were you out sick? Were you on vacation?
Yeah.
Did patients just decide not to show up that day? Things like that. And then what I have really enjoyed with the reports is how much you have presented to the patients.
Yeah, because really what we got, I think one of the things that we look at here on the very bottom, and for those of you who aren't on YouTube because you're missing out, you know, maybe you'll see this on Instagram or you can just go back and watch it. But like one of the things that we track a lot is how we track treatment conversion, right? So, you know, the reality is you're going to present treatment in the chair. You're also going to maybe refer treatment to what we call a planning appointment, where a treatment coordinator is going to then go over treatment. And I think it's really cool that we track that, because that's, in our opinion, that's really where the true value of a hygienist comes in, as being what I like to call like a mini treatment coordinator.
Yeah.
And like that I'm assuming was a little bit of a perspective change for you.
For sure. I think at previous offices, we relied heavily on actual treatment coordinators, that once the treatment was presented, it was basically out of my hands and it was into somebody else's. And then I never really saw the finished like result.
Yeah. Whether they would do things or not.
Yeah. And so it was basically a lot of loose ends. But I think with being here and like being a hygienist here, you see a lot of different stuff that you don't normally see maybe in some other offices.
So some of the stuff we track, you know, beyond that, like I think one of the things that we track that I like to track is smile simulations. So we can see that like on average, Emily's averaged 8 smile simulations over the year. And so, you know, which is helpful because then I can go back to 2022 and I can see, hey, in 2022, Emily only did 19 smile simulations, you know,
and
go ahead.
Yeah. But like the iTero scan, like I said, that was new to me before. So now being more comfortable with it,
they did 33, but obviously you were here a full year, but you did 33 scans in 2022 and you did 125 in, you know, 2023. So like, that's awesome. And then my expectation will be like in 2024, we'll look back, or at the beginning of 2025, we'll look back and it'll probably be double again. So I think personally, one of the cool things about tracking the data is it gives you your own benchmarks to know where you're at, where you're going.
Yeah.
Frankly, if I'm a team member, I would love it, because to me, it's my way of analytically proving my value.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I'm going to be honest to the listeners, and I don't know if we've had this conversation before, Emily, but like one of the challenges that most team members or most people in general, doctors included, if you say what's unique about you, they're going to be like, well, I'm really kind with my patients. I get along, I build a good rapport, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I don't disagree that those things are important, but like the reality is what team member or what doctor doesn't think that they're kind to their people?
Right.
Like everybody thinks they're nice to the patients, right. And everybody thinks they build a good rapport, and everybody thinks that like, and so like to me, there's nothing unique about being nice.
That's almost like a standard.
Yeah, like exactly. It should be the standard. Yeah. So like if someone comes to me and is like, I take really good care of my people, I'm like, good, you do the basic fundamentals of your freaking job.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it's just the reality of the situation. And so like to me, it's like, if you want more money, if you want to separate yourself from other people, and this is, I say this to MLS, this to other team members, whoever it is, it's that you've got to show me the value that you bring on beyond the basic levels of like, I clean teeth, I do it well, I help take care of my people, I don't hurt them, that there's something beyond what every other person brings to the fold.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
And so I think that's where, from a standpoint of like, when I talk to team members about reporting, it's that I encourage, it's not about Big Brother. It's about giving them an opportunity and an invitation to take ownership in their own destiny.
Yeah.
Is really what I look at it. And what I find is that if giving the other part about this, that's, I think, very important with hygiene. And if you noticed on that report, I'll pull it back up. What we don't track is we don't track things like, this is an old report. I'm going to take it down. What I want to get very, very, very ingrained on the thing. The things that we focus on the report are the things that our team members will focus on. So what you should see in the reports is that we focus on home sleep tests, smile simulations, ortho scans, taking photos. We have a code for photos so I can see how many. So if I come and Emily may have had a great production month, but if she's low in photos, then in my opinion, like, her grade for that month is low. If she has a down production month, but her photos are high, like, I grade that as like a high. So part of being able to run reports and have reporting is being able to get alignment with your team so that your team members and you, that everybody's getting graded on the same playing field.
I also think it's important to know the value that you see in each category.
Yes, no, absolutely.
But like you said, it's okay if I had a certain number, like with my production, but my photos were really not great that month. Okay, that means less to you than
right
if I had more photos and like a lower production.
Yes. Having alignment with your team members and within their departments and within their roles of knowing what's important is really key.
Yeah.
Because if I don't lay out those expectations, and that's why they're tracking the report, because if they look and they say, for instance, I don't want fluoride on there. So if a team member comes to me and says, well, fluoride's not on there, I'm gonna be like, you're right. Fluoride's important clinically, but it's not important to track.
It's not like a standard that you...
Yeah, like I want to use fluoride where it's beneficial to the patient, but it's not like something that I care about tracking.
Right.
Because it's not going to move the needle. And so I want to track the things that are important to moving the needle. And so if it's important for us to track, at some point that's going to trickle down to you all and knowing, okay, that's what's important. If that's the way I'm getting graded, I want to score really well in the way that I'm getting graded.
Yeah.
It's almost like giving every team member their own cheat sheet to their own report card.
Yeah. And I think that as we've done them ourselves more.
Oh, yeah. Talk about
that. We've become more aware of what is important. Because I know there are probably certain things that I look at more closely than maybe, say, one of the other hygienists, like what they value more than me. So I think it's also important to find your own values and, like, obviously, like, yours and then, like, everyone else so that we are on the same page, but also giving yourself a standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so when we started reporting, you did not do them, correct? Someone else did them for you,
yes.
And then they reviewed them with you.
Yes.
In hindsight, should we have just had you start doing them from the beginning, or was it good to boil you slowly there?
No, honestly, I like to do things on my own, and I was almost kind of offended. I was like, do you not trust that I could do this? And I was like, well, I want to do this on my own. And so...
That's probably a little bit of a not unusual with hygienists either. I mean, you'll kind of do everything on your own anyways.
Yeah. And so I think it was almost, I don't want to say thrown at us, but it was almost kind of thrown at us like, okay, you need to start doing this. And it was kind of shocking because I was like, is there something that we did that we messed up on that we're not paying close attention
to? Right. The immediate reaction is this is my punishment, or now I have to do something because I clearly did something wrong.
Yeah. Clearly we're not hitting our numbers where like you want us to be. And like now you actually need to pay attention. So I think the delivery of it was probably not...
Y'all see how shitty of a leader I am sometimes? Like, part of this is like, hopefully you learn from my mistakes.
So just make sure your hygienist does them.
So I think in hindsight, what I probably would have done was I would have brought them to them to the hygienist and said, hey, this is something I want to start doing. And it's important to me that you all do this.
Yeah.
And that we get it done by the end of the first month of the week.
Yeah.
The end of the first week of the month.
Yeah.
Because that's what we expect, right? Like, basically...
It's like the first week of the next month.
The first week of the next month, we'd like to get it done so that we can review it before we get further into the end of the month.
Correct.
And paint a better picture of why we're doing it, what we're tracking and whatnot. But I do think we've gotten, ironically, you all may be like, that's crazy. My hygienist won't do that. We really have gotten universally positive feedback from the reporting.
Honestly, so that's good. From my standpoint, I didn't know that, but that's good. I know that I like it. So, and it's kind of nice to hear that everyone likes it too. And it's not like annoying.
Well, and I think there's something substantial about getting to celebrate the wins and the progress. Like inevitably that every month there's something where we can work on, but inevitably there's something that we get to celebrate and look at. And I think that's part of it too, is being able to tracking numbers gives us a reason to celebrate. And so if we don't track it, we never really know the progress we made. And then most progress happens a bite at a time. And so you wake up one day and you made a lot of progress and you never really celebrated where you were and where you are now.
I think it allows you for like tangible goals and like goal setting, which is good too.
Yes, it is. Speaking of which, Emily, we just had our annual review yesterday.
We did.
You had some good goals. I had 15 reviews. Do you want to share one of your professional goals?
I don't even know if I remember them.
Well, I'm sure they were great.
What was my professional goal? Oh, better my handoffs.
Specifically? To the doctors or the treatment coordinators?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. So I feel like sometimes I talk fast, and then sometimes when I'm talking to the patient and then the doctor comes in, and then sometimes it's not always at the end of the appointment. Sometimes if the doctor's available, we kind of take them.
Right. It could be in the middle.
We are.
Or take them where we get them.
Yeah. So sometimes being caught off guard, I might get a little flustered, but I think in the long run, slowing down is one of my main ways to achieve my goal with those handoffs. And yeah, just, I think that was my biggest one.
I love it.
My handoffs, yeah.
All right, well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us. This was fun. Hope you enjoy this. Hey, if you like some team member conversations, let me know. We'll do more of these. These are kind of fun. I get to hear a little more about my team members from themselves. So they open up on my podcast. They won't open them up to me. And you do that. It's good. All right, we'll see you next time. Work smarter, not harder. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.